Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless, gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. Super excited. Before we jump in, we'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. They are sturdy. They will not break. They don't pop break down. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. Right now, we've got a quarterly membership going on, which I think is awesome. I think it rocks. We've got everything you need inside of our roadmap. You know, the teachhoops did a roadmap because you're always in one of four seasons, right? You're either in preseason, you're either in postseason. You're either in the season or you're in the off season. One of those four seasons you're always in. And we set up a roadmap and a checklist to make it easier for you. So come over, join us at teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast.
I'm actually working on a course right now, just in case we don't. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think schools are going to go back. Then they're going to shut us down. And then I think the best chance is after the new year.
Yeah.
Like a shortened season, like a 6-week season or something.
Right.
So I'm working on some stuff right now, actually. So once November rolls around, you know, and you pick your team kind of thing to keep them engaged, because it's a long season. A lot of things can happen, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody can come up with a vaccine and all of a sudden we got a season and we're not ready.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm working on right now. It's like, things that they can do mentally, get to know each other, all that kind of stuff.
Right. That's good. They just extended here in Tennessee. They just extended our state of emergency through August 29th. And so they've been allowing like volleyball to practice for the most part, just like keeping numbers down, keeping groups together.
Right.
And like just cleaning everything, sanitizing everything, but extending it through August 29th is the first time that it's really significantly messed with like football season without, I mean, they've been just doing summer conditioning, and I mean, how they're going to swing doing football, I got no clue.
Football's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't.
The football coaches don't want to hear it. I already told our football coach, I go, there's no way. It's like, it'd be like wrestling.
Yeah.
It's like one of those sports that you just can't.
Yeah.
It's close contact. The offensive and defensive linemen.
Yeah, they're right in front of each other the entire time.
It's just not going to happen. Yeah. I mean, that's.
Like, yeah. For my work, I go into like factories and deliver supplies and stuff like that. So I'm wearing masks and gloves every day. And like, even if they wanted to make something to go on the face mask, my glasses fog up just stepping in with a mask on.
Hey, they're not a spot. Have you seen? Do you wear baseball hats?
No, I got a melon for a head, so it's hard to get a hat on this head of mine.
I bought this in case, and I bought this in case we have to go back. So it goes right on the baseball brim, like this. Let's see if I can get it on. And then these clip on, and then you've got the sides.
Nice.
Is that nice?
Yeah.
I figure if I got to go back, I'm going to wear a mask, and then I'm going to wear this thing too.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's smart. I mean, a lot of the fact, there's a few that before they'll let you in, they'll take your temperature and stuff like that. And one about didn't let me in because he had actually – it's just a forehead thermometer is what they use.
Right.
But he left it in the security shack. He left it in the sun, the thermometer. So when he went to read me, it had me at like 107 temperature. I was like, dude,
I'd be dead.
Yeah. Like I think I would be aware. I was like, let's give that thing a minute and try that again. And he's like, oh yeah, you're good. My bad. I was like, okay, cool.
Everything I'm reading, this is what worries me about sports is it's close contact. It's more airborne than it is touch.
Yeah.
And it's quantity of particles that you get rather than, So I don't think schools are going to happen either, but yeah, it's just me. Yeah. We'll see. I hope I'm wrong. Very rarely do I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
That's kind of the way I am too, but well, okay. So I had like a few like main points and then a little bit of like updating and get your thoughts on.
Good.
So,
done.
Starting to pursue like looking at high school jobs and stuff like that, like I said in the email.
Okay.
And, I had a coach reach out to me, and when Corona hit, like it was like right before my wedding, and so my whole thought process going into it was like, let's get married, let's get that, and then I'll start looking at everything after honeymoon and everything like that.
Right.
But Corona kind of changed all that. I didn't really expect many.
Did you still get married?
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations. Good. That's good. Yeah. When was the wedding?
End of April, April 25th.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. So, I know I've had friends that have had to I've had people that I know that have had to cancel.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, there's a lot like telling us to, and we changed our, like, we were going to go to Paris for our honeymoon. Like that didn't happen with
that. That didn't happen.
And like, my dad has a brother. My mom is one of four. My stepdad's one of four. Her dad's one of four. Her mom's one of eight. So just like in family, we had over 200 people.
Right.
Like our family, our wedding was going to be like 300. And it pretty much came down to like immediate family in our church. People parked in the parking lot. We walked out on the stage. They all stayed in their cars, honked their horns. Like it worked out doing pretty cool. But And
so it'll be a great story to tell your kids someday.
Oh, yeah. It'll be memorable for sure.
It will be.
So my whole plan was like, okay, once wedding's taken care of, I'll start looking, you know, for a job and stuff. Well, with Corona, I didn't think anybody would be looking. Like, you know, there's not going to be a lot of moving with all this going on. And sure enough, a guy who actually coached, my brother's 8 years younger than me. He coached my brother his freshman year, ended up taking a varsity girls job at a neighboring county high school, and then came back into our county there's two high schools for our county. At not our side of the county, but the other side, and took the varsity girls job there. And out of the blue, messaged me, is like, if you want that, I'll recommend you. I was like, holy cow, yeah, go ahead. Like, let me know. And they ended up, they didn't even last the length of like the time of accepting applications. They were old school. Like, there wasn't like an email, a hyperlink. Like, you printed off that application, you put it in the mail, and you mailed it to them. Like, that's how they wanted everything done. But they had a guy who'd been coaching at their middle school for like 27 years.
Okay.
And they offered it to him first. And it was kind of one of those things, like, if he took it, Coach K could have applied, and they probably gave it to that guy. You know,
right.
He'd been there forever.
Yeah.
And so, out of that though, the current county that I'm in, which is where I played at, I communicated it with my assistant principal and try to get to the AD, because don't want to, you know, burn that bridge and just let them know that I was applying.
Right.
Throwing my name in there. In that, they kind of like let me know of some assistant boys jobs that were open at the high school where I played. And I haven't really looked too much into that, just because my work schedule has been like 8 to 5 pretty much.
Okay.
And so unless a coach is doing like a later practice,
I can't make it.
Yeah. And so, yeah. I mean, if you give me a freshman or JV team, like, I could coach that team at that time, but what am I really being to you as an assistant if I can't be at your practices and then your team meetings and stuff? And, after a couple weeks of talking with my employer, they actually approved for during basketball season to allow me to go 6 to 2:30. And so now tomorrow at lunch, I'm meeting with my county's athletic director and the head boys coach at where I went to school.
Okay.
About assistant job.
Okay.
So I might be going from middle school girls to high school boys next season.
That's good. That's a good step. Yeah. That's not a lateral movement. That's an upward movement. Is there a place that they post jobs?
There is. And so they would post it like on the school's webpage pretty much.
Okay.
However, a lot of it is kind of just like who you know. So if you get your name in there, like, a lot of them won't ever get posted. They'll kind of have.
Oh, how do they do that? How do they do that in today's legal? I don't know how they do.
Yeah. What's funny with the one who recommended me for the previous job is, like, I kind of monitor a lot of the sites and stuff, and I never, the job that he took, I never saw it posted.
Yep. And first of all, they're breaking federal law by that.
Oh yeah. Well, the funny part is, I saw like
There's not a state. Like, there's got to be a listing. There's got to be some. It's got to be listed. They can't do that. They can just
Can't do it. I think this is the workaround that I think what happened is, so the day that I saw it shared on Facebook, like our local newspaper shared it.
Okay.
That he took that job. I went to their school site again, and it was posted. So it was on there the same day that they announced that they were having like it. So like it was probably just in the nick of time type deal. That's the only thing that I can imagine.
Oh, they put it like 30 right minutes before they. They want to apply. You can't. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they're a public entity. They can't legally do that. They have to give everyone the opportunity to apply. Okay. So the work thing seems like it's going to work.
Yes, which is awesome.
And are there any head jobs that you would want or that are open? Because people are still applying and getting jobs. I know somebody in our conference just got a job 2 weeks ago.
Right. In our area, there's not a ton right now. Okay.
Are they laying off teachers or doing any of that stuff right now?
No, not yet. They've been able, as they finish up the school year, they were still allowing them to do a lot of online classes, even for elementary age, stuff. They got some programs out there and things like that. So far, nothing. And they actually, the county that I'm in, one of the assistant principals sent out the three options that they're looking at to return to school and stuff like that today. So they're still trying to.
Yeah. I can tell you the three options. You go back, you kind of go back, you don't go back.
Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. The
exact same thing everyone's saying. And they're all guessing, to be honest.
Yeah.
Anyway. So do you feel like this, this would be my observation. If I was you, how old are you?
I'm 24, will be 25.
Oh, you're a puppy. You're a puppy. You're young. I was listening to Gary Vee today. You haven't even started your life at 25. Gary Vee, I don't know if you listen to him. He's pretty funny. He talks about business. Anyway.
Yeah.
He's a whole business guy, huge business guy, Gary Vee. Anyway, he goes, and this guy's talking about 25, and he just got his degree in physical therapy or something. He didn't want to do it. He goes, you're 25. You can do whatever you want. So you're 25. If you were 35, we may have a different discussion. You're 25. So this, I think personally, if I was your age in this opportunity and just merit, this is an assistant job is a really good step.
Right.
And the reason it's a good step. Now, if something opens, go ahead and apply. That's that. You never know when the door is going to open. But, from someone that's been married a long time, being married is a little bit of a dance, and you got to figure that dance out first. And then the second thing is this change in schedule, I think, is going to be unique for you. And you're going to find out real quick if it's a jump you want to make.
Right.
Because I'm guessing you're going to stay in this job for a while or want to stay in this job for a while. And that's if you're doing a good job and they let you stay to the 6 to 30, you just got to figure out, is it sustainable to do it every November to March?
Yeah.
That's what you got to figure out. Of season is probably not as big a deal. But in season, that's what I don't know, better than I do, but I think you really won't know until you do it.
Right.
Then the jump up is going to be noticeable too.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's an advantage that I had with being the late practice with middle school is if we went 5:30 to 7:30, I stayed every day until at least 8. So if any, it was always an optional 30 minutes for my team. If you want to work on a certain skill set, if you have questions about play and with multiple coaches, we kind of split them up and some would stay there and just they would play 2-on-2 before they went home. Right.
Are always the good players.
And
the part-timers go home early.
Yeah. But with that, last season I wasn't married yet. But there would be times if I'm answering questions, helping with the play, all of a sudden I'm getting home and it's 9, 10 o'clock and it's not
because that ain't gonna work.
Right. In this early practice schedule, even if I did that for the high school, I'm getting home at 6, it's a normal.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint,
you're good. You're 24. So you, for me, that just makes me tired thinking about it. And I'm a night owl. We're talking right now at 7:45 Central. I won't be in bed until 1, and I'll be up at 7. But I get a little afternoon nap in, and there's
things,
but that tires me out a little bit just thinking about that. Okay, so what's your concern? What's your worries about making the jump?
I don't have really much concern. The one thing that I was really looking at, in comparison to taking over a program and being an assistant for someone, I was totally open to being an assistant. Just the things that I was looking for is I want to learn and I want to be heard, kind of both ways.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, my opinion's dumb. Please explain it to me. Where's my philosophy off at? And
right.
And then, but because
and I would tell you as a head to my assistant, sometimes I can't tell you right then because we're in the war, but I will later if you want to know why. So I think that those are good. That's a good question, especially when you're meeting with somebody. Is I want to help. I want to do things that maybe you don't want to do. I want to learn. That's the selling point, is you want to learn.
Yeah.
I love when assistant coaches want to come in and learn stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because this is I don't know how it is. I know there's a ton of people that work really, really hard at it, but especially around here, there's a big difference between what me and my staff did this year and most other middle school coaches around here. Most
right. Of them just and as you go up, people work harder.
Yeah.
Each step or they'll lose or they'll get canned, you know, you don't win, you'll get canned. So what would this be the varsity assistant?
So there, he actually had a lot of turnover in his staff this year. He had one take a different teaching position.
Okay.
At a different school. He had one that was a teacher at the school that just got let go, so he can no longer coach there.
Okay.
And then their freshman coach, he wasn't from our area, and I don't know if I think the drive and the distance was an issue.
Just for too him. Much. Okay.
Yeah. So in our county, it's pretty much the head coach, you get a head assistant, a JV coach, and then a freshman coach.
Okay.
And so right now,
and JV is sophomores.
Yeah. I mean, it can be freshmen to juniors. The only thing that's not allowed is seniors. Yeah. Okay. So as of right now, he's just the head coach.
Okay.
And so hopefully tomorrow will be a little bit more confirmation that I will be moving up, and if so, where they're thinking of putting me in that.
And what are the questions you're going to ask tomorrow?
So it's I don't know how this thing will kind of go. I've known the athletic director for a long time. He's been a family friend. And he got me this previous job. I didn't even know it was open. He just kind of ran into me at a county event and was like, "Hey, you want to coach?" I was like, "Yeah."
Okay.
Immediately. And so I don't know how formal it would be necessarily. They're pretty much working on their
own. Is there any job they can offer you that you won't take?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. Yeah. So if I'm offering,
I mean, if I'm coming in, I'm going to say, "What job do you want?" That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And so why?
I prefer head assistant and JV or JV, either one of those.
Okay, pick. You can have one. Pick one. Right. And why?
Then I would go head assistant.
And why?
Direct communication with the head coach, because I know he knows what he's doing. I know his resume is kind of.
No, I think the reason I asked the question is I think that's when if you want that job, then you stroke the head at that point. I want to learn from you.
Right.
I want you to be my Yoda kind of thing. I want you to teach me. I want to learn, and no one's going to outwork me, but I need to, and I think I have some great ideas, but I want to learn from you. If that's the job you want. Now, other people don't want that job. They want to be in their own island. That's one of the reasons I like teaching, is people kind of leave me alone when I teach my class.
Right.
So I have bosses, but I don't necessarily have bosses once that door shuts.
You don't have micromanagers.
I don't know. They're not micromanaging how I'm teaching, standard deviation. So, so I just do it. So I like that. But that's what you have to, that's what they would possibly ask. And I don't know how formal it's going to be, but that would be the question one of the things is I got to fill my pieces, especially if I have three pieces to fill.
Yeah,
I got to figure out where you're going to fit best. because I might have this guy, you know. And so as a head, my concern would be your job.
Right.
How are we going to deal with that if you have to get pulled away? Those kind of things.
Yeah.
It's a little different than being a teacher.
Right.
So that's always, you know, when I have – and I have assistants that are not in the building, but they're also in jobs. My head assistant's a teacher. And then I have a couple other assistants where if they got to go to their – they have a business – you know, one's a CFO. They got to go do their stuff. They go do their stuff.
Yeah.
It's just not a practice that day. It's okay. So that would be one of the things. I mean, I personally, that's a job I would want too, because eventually you want to be ahead, hopefully.
Right.
And then that's when you're going to start working on your portfolio. You want to learn from as many people as you can, because that's going to help build your portfolio, not only your resume, but I like this, I like this, I like, you know, I was under like 6 or 7 before I got my job, and I took a little bit of all of them, just a little bit of each of them. The goods, and I didn't, the stuff I didn't like, I didn't do, because it's my job. So you think, is this like over lunch, over breakfast? What is this?
Kind of like a lunch thing. Like, just like, I'm pretty much using my lunch break tomorrow to go and meet them, talk to them, answer any questions. I'll have a copy of my portfolio and coaching resume for the AD and for the head coach with me.
Perfect.
That kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So, like I said, I don't really know if it'll be like, it might be something that we sit right down and go over everything, or it might just be like we stand there and talk. Like,
do you know the style and the system and the teams and the thing in that you're, do you know that?
I know his general style. I've never seen him teach it or implement it, but I've watched their games. It's definitely more of a, it's a dribble drive if you were trying to do dribble drive with all guards, pretty much. They really haven't had a
– You can do that. This is 5 out. You don't put that don't put that big. That's fine. I'm just saying that would be my one thing, is know what you're walking yourself into. So so here's a question I would have if I was you, not to necessarily bring this up, is like, why did they all leave?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little bit of a red flag to me that all three of them left. Well,
from what I've gathered, because one of them, one of his assistant coaches last year, he had just graduated from the college playing ball as I was coming as a freshman to play there. And they they have a little bit of a ego problem amongst the team right now.
Okay.
And I think, you know, so, and I don't think it's a lot of like school disciplinary issues or nothing like that. Like, I haven't heard anything of that nature. It's just like on the court, they seem more selfish than what I remember, you know, my group's being, or what is normal. And they're talented kids. And like, you know, I mean, 16-year-old, like I can see that. Like, if I was that good, I'm like, I might have thought a little bit differently about a little bit more high minded.
No, I get it. And those are hard. Those are hard teams to coach.
Yeah, and so, like, I think that might have been the decision making on one of them. The other teacher getting let go and that kind of thing. That stuff I don't
know
too much info on.
Yet. I just didn't know if there was like cleaning house, trying to reset. That'd be my only issue with it.
One question I had, because I've heard on different podcasts before with you that you. One thing that you look for in some of your assistants is the ambition to be a head coach one day.
Absolutely.
Right.
Now, I don't do that anymore. Okay. So I'm going to put it, there's going to be an asterisk next to that.
Okay.
I love assistant coaches like that. And I'm actually, you know, I'm getting at the twilight of my coaching career. Cause my son just graduated.
Right.
You know, it's like,
your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
That kind of got me through a little bit of a lull. It's like, I'm getting near the end. I got a really good sophomore coming in. So, you know, I'll probably see him through, but So I'm, that's where I am now. I'm kind of looking for that. I'm always looking for that. That's great. If you want to be ahead, great. I've also got a kind of a rhythm with one of my assistants is like a great, doesn't want it, but fits his role. The other two are older coaches. So it's kind of changed over time. That can be threatening to some coaches.
Right.
It was never really a threat to me. I mean, I never, whatever. I just go fishing if I get fired.
Right.
Like, okay. I mean, literally at that point in my career, it's like, fire me. I'll go buy a fishing boat. Yeah. While I'm fishing instead. Exactly. So, yeah. So there's a little bit of, you know, freedom with that knowledge. But the thing I like about it, like I said before, I like ones that want to learn. I also like ones that, you know, if you look at all the college coaches, they all move up. Like the good ones all move up. Well, I want the same thing for my program. I want them to move up. So you probably know the head better than I do, but it's like, if it can be a threatening thing, but because here's the issue is you got to tell him you don't want his job.
Yeah.
I don't want your job. I want a head job someday.
Yeah.
So you got to take because I think head coaches sometimes worry about the backstabbing. You're going to try to come in and take my job kind of thing.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So that's the only issue you got to worry about in that situation. But I always like them because they're hard workers. The climbers are hard workers and do stuff that I don't want to do, which is perfect.
Right. And that's what I want to do. Like, I want to learn and seek out those opportunities without.
Well, that's what I think you sell to him is, like, here's why I will be your best assistant. Yeah. I will open the gym up. I will break film down. The thing is, and you should do that. Like, I don't break film down hardly at all anymore. A little bit. I watch film, but I don't break it down. I don't do all that. I haven't done a scouting report in 10 years, probably. Because I don't want to do it anymore. And I feel like I know what I'm doing. But at your age, you should definitely, like, volunteer for everything. Like, can I?
And I love to, like, nerd out on that stuff a little bit.
Right. So that's what I think you got to sell, because this coach sounds like he's been around a while. You get burnt out doing anything too long. If you had ice cream every night, you don't get sick of ice cream. It's like, you know, so that's the thing is, I think that's what you got to sell. I want to be head coach. I want to learn every aspect of this program, how you order the buses, how you, like, I want to help you make your life easier so you can coach. So that's one of the selling points too, is I want to learn, but I want to make it easier for you. I want to take things off your table so you can coach and I can be good cop if you need to be bad cop, all that kind of stuff. That's what you need from an assistant.
Okay.
As long as you're willing to do it, because there's a lot of grunt work with being a head coach. Trust me, there's a lot of grunt work. If you're willing to do that, then I would, that would be my selling point to them.
For sure.
Okay.
Cool. So I have that coming up in the transition part. So the two assistants that I had this past year, one is one of my closest friends, and the other is like one of the first kids that I started training that ended up being a college ball player.
Okay.
So she was the first one that I trained that got to college, and she ended up having a knee injury, stopped early, immediately wanted to start coaching. And so, like, I had a great staff. Like, it's crazy to me how good, like, my middle school staff was. Like, that was so strange, like, compared to, like, what I remember out of middle school and stuff like that. Like,
So, but that's a few – put that in your long-term memory bank, too.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
A good staff is the staff and the day you pick your team are the most important things in a program.
So I was really lucky from that standpoint. And so we're all actually going to have dinner Thursday.
Okay.
Because I'm hoping that, you know, the schools and everything will agree that if I do move up, I can leave it to them. Like, they would be capable and stuff like that to try to get them on the same page and everything and let them kind of take over after me.
Okay.
And so one thing that I think that, like, is something that, like, in as a young coach that I need to get better at and that I want to try to help them with too, because, like, I'm still going to, like, get updates on them. Like, I want them to call and ask me questions and help, and I've been re-listening to, like, every podcast on practice planning. And
the thing is, stuff in T-Tubes is awesome. All those, all listen to those. Those are all really good. Yeah. I haven't even done mine yet. I've been so busy listening. I think people will learn what I do in mine too. I just haven't had time to do mine, 'cause I'm, I'm learning still, and I'm an old dog. So I think it's great. Yeah, that stuff's awesome.
Yeah, so I've been really trying to narrow down that. And part of the practice playing that I noticed in myself last year, so like we talked about before, like my last year team, like a lot of potential, ended up like ton of injuries. Like we went 2 or 3 months without having all of our top 6 and 7 together, like always missing one of them, and still ended up winning our area. And when it came down to it, like we were very much a transition basketball team, like kind of like an all guards, decent athleticism type deal, and wanted to just run. And early in the year, we were really, really great at that. When we started having sickness and injury in the middle of the season, it was difficult for me to practice that way. Like I didn't know how to practice that without burning them out and without killing them. And so I tried to would just, you know, 3-on-2, 2-on-1, you know, keep things like that simple. Yeah.
There's days, it's hard for young coaches too. There's days you just send them home. I mean, you're just better off sending them home. Yeah. I swear to God, it's hard to do it, but it's like, you're not getting anything out of it because they're sick. They're, you know,
Yeah. And so what ended up happening is like, we kind of got everyone healthy, like at the right time, made a pretty good run, got to like top 16 in the state before we got put out. But it was noticeably less effective in our transition because we had went that time without practicing as much, you know, together than in the first 10 games when we went 9-1 and
you were clicking.
And so like, I almost feel like looking back, I almost feel like I rested on one of our laurels. But I remember, like, you know, I also had a reason, like, I'm not trying to kill the 6 healthy girls I got, you know. And so, like, just finding that balance.
There's a little bit of a rhythm to that, and there's a little bit of rhythm to you want to peak at the right time.
Yeah.
Like, I've had teams that have peaked in January and December, and it's like, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, it's like you can try to re-peak because you go, but – yeah, to have a secondary peak, I guess.
Well, that our looking at it from the scope of our like preseason, like we had a couple tough games before Christmas, like of our 10-12 that we had, and we knew that we were probably going to have a good record going into Christmas break and our Christmas tournament. But our Christmas tournament we get in is a tough one,
right?
And we kind of like we didn't go into that tournament like it's a coaching staff. We said something different to the girls, but like we didn't go in there necessarily ready to walk out with the championship because we knew we'd probably get a little high and mighty and we'd get humbled and our girls would work after that. So we were kind of ready for that humble factor come Christmas time. And it ended up with a starter with a broken ankle, your first girl off the bench with a broken foot, like one of your other starters with a broken finger on her shooting hand, just like all within like 2 weeks of each other. And you're like, okay, that's not exactly what we were shooting for there and getting humbled. So, so practice planning is one thing. And that's one thing that I really hope to work with if I do end up getting this position that I'm really like.
You're going to find out, like, if you listen to the different coaches and the practice plan, everyone does it a little different.
Yeah.
So that's the more coaches that you can see how they practice plan. Mm-hmm. You're going to go, holy crud, how have they ever won a game? And then you're going to look at other people that have the best practices and never win.
Yeah.
They might not have enough time. I mean, it will be really good for you to be in that. It is the best seat on the bench.
Yeah.
The one right to the head coach.
A lot less responsibility weight on the shoulders there too.
Yeah, nobody's calling you on a Tuesday because they're mad. You know, I had an assistant. Gosh, I don't even know how long Corey was with me. Maybe 12 years, 10, 12 years. And he always told me, he goes, Steve, we had won a couple state titles when he was my assistant. He goes, I have the best job in the world because I don't have to deal with it. I get to enjoy it all and I don't have any of the headaches.
Yeah.
It's like,
free front row ticket.
Yeah, it's a front row ticket. I get to be good cop, you know.
Yeah.
So that's good. I think that would be good. I think the practice planning part will be, and that's a good question tomorrow. Yeah. It's like, how involved will you want me in practice? How will you want me involved in practice? You know, he's not going to have your practice plan, but it's like, what's going to be my role in practice? Because that's a good question for you. If it's not a role that you want, then maybe you take the sophomore job or the JV job at that point. Because then you can maybe work on that skill. It's like, some coaches, like I do very little. I used to talk all the time. I do very little talking now because I've got good assistants. So that's where I think you got to figure out. And he's going to – he'll give you more responsibilities. He trusts you more.
Right.
But that's – I think that's a good question about, you know, how is practice going to work? How and what do you want – you know, what are my game responsibilities going to be?
Right.
Like, you know, I have assistants charting. You know, what are you going to want from me during a game? Do you – you know, that I think that – all those are really good questions. Oh. I think you're going to be able to figure it out.
Let's see. Hold on. No worries. Just disappeared from my end.
Am I there still?
I can hear you. I'm trying to get back to the video.
Oh, somebody called you. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I had my phone plugged in. I went for a long walk today and ran out of juice.
You know, you have enough experience with this to know how to get back there. Because I can hear you fine. I just can't see you anymore. I can't see myself.
That's fine.
Anymore.
You don't have to see me if you don't want to see me. That's okay.
All right.
I can see you, and if you can't, that's fine. If you can hear me, that's good. I don't care. Okay.
Oh, there it is. All right.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know. Have you talked to Randy Kaufman, any about practice planning? I don't know.
I haven't, I don't think.
So after the Legends Clinic, a couple weeks after that, because he's only like a 45-minute drive from me. I met him in Georgia, but he's only like a 45-minute drive from me.
Okay.
I ended up going with both of my assistants. He allowed us in one of the open gyms.
That's okay.
And so open gyms, like stricter rules, you know, can't be as much. His leader, which was the post player girl that he had, she ended up signing with Iowa State.
Right.
Ran their practice. They hardly, him and his assistant Justin, barely said a word. They had a practice plan on a little card sheet, put it in between the pads behind the goal. And okay. I mean, you know, and where they're that new school, they're down to, you know, they got some seventh graders there all in the same practice to get numbers. And it ran uber efficient. Every girl knew every drill by name immediately, you know. And so we're sitting there like, I got seventh graders that we're 3 weeks in calling the same practice every time, you know, they can't remember the name necessarily. Like, it was clockwork. The efficiency on it was awesome.
But yeah, I did have Randy. I was just looking back. I can't, seriously, I've done 656 podcasts. I can't remember who I talked to. I did talk to Randy. I can't remember.
It was great to see him, how little they really had to do because of the rules.
Well, part of that security too, because he's you know, you don't have to prove what you know. You know what you know.
Yeah.
I think that's a good, I think the more people like that you can get out to practices too is better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, okay. So one thing before any other opportunities and everything like that. And I even think with like, who I know the boys team has, it might have good to have some looks like that, is I've been looking more and more at read and react stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, I was looking at it from we did a dribble drive like variants for my middle school girls this year.
Go on Teach Hoops, and my assistant and I did one on read and react, a new course.
Okay.
I love Rick. Rick is like one of those innovators. We've had this discussion. It's 8 billion layers.
Yeah.
We condense it to 45 minutes and put clips from our game in there.
Okay, awesome.
So go watch that. It's really good. It took us, I don't know, 3-4 weeks to do it, but it's really – it condense, because our guys can't remember all that crap.
Yeah.
So we had to condense it to the, like, do this.
Yeah.
And it's really good for read and react. And if you got higher level kids, then, you know, go buy his 85 DVDs and it's great. I mean, you should. Yeah. Rick's a great guy. You should talk to him anyway. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, so kind of how I was looking at it, and I've seen the read and react so in a certain way. One of my mentors that I have, he actually just took a job in Knoxville about an hour and a half away for a girls program down there. And he did it when he was up this way, in a sense. He had, like, it was a little dribble drive, a little read and react type deal, how a lot of them can be.
Yep.
But in terms of, like, I got to see some of his, like, summer practices, and it was pretty much, like, by that point, it was one layer. By the time I'm coming to him, in, you know, November, they got a couple, like, and they're pretty good on the read and stuff. And so in terms of like the implementation, like kind of how I looked at it is, rather than, because there's no way any group that I feel like I'm going to work with is going to take all those layers.
No. It's going to take you 2-3 weeks to get a layer. And the problem is they'll go back to the layer they feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
Like the pass and cut or they get lazy. So you got to break it down. Yes. If you can go and get several layers working well, you're very hard to defend at that point.
Even. Yeah.
You got to think you're at high school too. Yeah.
So when you were, cause you run Read and React or.
I do. We ran it really 2 years ago, really well, in the sense that we didn't dribble at all. Last year and the coming years, we're going to tweak more because we'll have a hybrid of Read and React and Dribble Drive.
Right.
In the sense that we're going to want to attack the rim a little bit more. And I've been playing with the mid-range game. I don't know yet. I'm playing with that because it's open. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're just running you off the lawn.
Yeah, everyone's running everyone off the line and not letting you get to the rim. So that's why I think there's some opportunities there. I haven't figured that out yet. I'll let you know if I figure that out. I'm working on that.
Well, kind of what I did was start going through, like, I started looking like you and I, they run some five-out stuff. And, like, so doing, like, it from a five-out, and just kind of looking at layers or options that I feel like my current group could do. Okay. And that's kind of how I started looking to try to identify just like three layers that would be effective.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Go. I'm telling you, we'll get back on the call. I don't want to jump into this too much because I want you to go watch the course first and then we'll talk. I think that will answer most of your questions on Read and React.
Okay.
Where I really do. Condensed it to, I don't know if yours probably Spark Notes. I'm Cliff Notes version, but you're probably Spark Notes version.
Cliff Notes.
Yeah. Okay. Cliff Notes. Whatever. So depends on where you are. The kids in our school use Spark Notes, but anyway, Cliff Notes. It's the Cliff Note version of it. I think it will answer every question that's running through your head right now. If it doesn't, we can fix it. I mean, the other stuff I have up there and the stuff that he's talked about is kind of general. This is very specific. Here's how you do it. It's good. It's really good. Okay. Go watch that.
All right. And then I got my last one on like the practice more, I guess it's more closer to the practice plan side of, so you have your like a team identity for the most part, like how you want to play, if you're going to pound it out, if you don't have a shot clock, or if you're going to run, you know, in terms of like what you're going to hang your head on. Right.
Yes. So, yes. Usually I know going into the season what we're going to be. Yes.
So one thing that I had a challenge with, so like I said, a lot of ours was transition. We did a lot of like sideline break type stuff. I struggled finding ways to keep that fresh and still practicing what we should be doing. Like, what does that make sense? So without doing like the same like kind of like the 5-0 transition progression,
yep
things like that.
So you're talking about getting up and down the court fast,
right? So that was like my team's identity this past year. And about mid-season, you know, doing those same drills,
yep, like, you got to change up. You literally got to sit on. Okay, and I can give you some, but I always tell people the best thing is invent your own drill. I mean, think about what you want to do and how you can throw it into your practice. I swear to God, that's the best way to do it. Half the drills I do, I've just come up with on a walk or driving the car or going. It's like, okay, we need to work on boxing out. Well, then I'll try three different things and one of them will stick. It's the same thing with transition. Every drill, if you want to transition and move, you got every drill you do, you have to transition. Yeah. You have to go after the drill. We'll work on out of bounds plays and then they'll shoot on, let's say we're working on out of bounds plays underneath and the team runs it and they score. Well, then we're taking the ball and we're going.
Right.
Like everything has to be connected. And then as far as 5-0, all those transitions, those are good for warmups. It's better doing them in a live situation where, you know, all right, we're working on Read and React here, but then the defense gets to go and then you switch them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's almost like everything's got to be – for the teams that I've had that have run, and I've had teams that could run, everything we did was about the run. everything. Yeah. Like we work on free throw, everything. It was boom, transition. Yeah. And then when you actually do scrimmage and practice, the best way is actually, you know, work on pressing. I don't know if you, are you going to press?
Yeah. We press a lot. We did
so work on pressing on misses and makes, work on training. And then that will right. counter with transition because they'll try to get it up faster so they don't get pressed. So you're working on two things at once there. Yeah. I really like doing that. It's easy to press after a make. It's a lot harder to press after a miss.
Yeah.
But if you teach them to do that, which will help you in the game from the pressing standpoint, it will also help the offense because they know they're doing it and then they get it out faster. So I know what you're saying. There's a little bit of a lull. Part of that's legs too.
Yeah.
In January or mid season, it's legs.
Right.
So your practice has to do this.
Okay.
It has to go from 2 hours to an hour and 25.
Yeah.
Which is hard for us because we feel like we have more things we have to get in. Right. So I literally, each month I have something on the top that reminds me to shorten the practice.
Yeah. Instead of like shortening our practices, I did, and that I don't think it really worked super effectively. I did less of the full fledged stuff. So I would start.
The problem is they don't have the attention. We're in a Snapchat world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on this stuff for some teams on skill work for July. And it's all going to be less. Every day is going to be like 10 minutes of stuff. Because if you give them 45 minutes of stuff, they won't do it.
Right.
They just won't do it. But if you give them 5, 10, you give them short little snippets, like TikTok.
Yeah.
It's 30 seconds, and 60 seconds, and it's done.
Yeah.
That's the way practice has to be. I've tried that. I know what you're doing, and I've tried it. The old dog's tried it. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll do this, then I'll break it up and watch it. It doesn't work. Their attention, it's a long season. Their attention just goes. And I don't know why. And they're teenagers. I think that's part of the reason.
Yeah, I tried like the mental stuff in the first part of practice when they're kind of a little bit more, and then would just
have situations is good early.
Yeah.
Things that if I have to teach anything, I try to do it in the first 30 minutes. I have to teach anything. It's new, and that's hard early in the season.
Everything's new.
Everything's new, but I sometimes will take a Saturday, and that will be our implementation day. So, in this, I don't think a lot of people do this, but it would be like, you know, we'll try out, do a couple of days of conditioning and shooting and full court stuff, and then we'll have our day of, okay, we're going to put everything in that we need to get in. This is our learning day. We're going to start at Saturday at 8 o'clock and we're going to get done at 11 and we're going to get it all in.
Yeah.
So you better be ready and you better go to bed early.
Better remember.
You better remember.
Yeah.
And then I give them Sunday off and then we come back. So that can work too. I mean, it depends on your group, but that can work.
Well, cool deal. Well, I'll go online and look at.
Go look at the read and react, and then we'll after you've watched that, we'll get back together and we can talk about the specifics of that.
Awesome.
That makes sense. All right. Good luck tomorrow. Let me know how tomorrow goes.
I will. I appreciate it. I'll send you an email over.
Yeah, do that. All right. Yep. See ya. Bye. Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoy it. Make sure you subscribe. We would really appreciate that. Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen, those 5-star reviews mean a ton to us. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.